be looking at the site-specific evaluation tool for phosphorus risk assessment. My co-author is Willie Harris, who is a pedologist. Now, the whole thing, I'm going to focus on just spodosols of the Lake Okeechobee Basin, but what I'd like you all to realize is that tool that we are going to develop should be applicable to all sandy soils. Now, the spodosols themselves have a surface A horizon followed by an eluted E horizon with no retention capacity, below which there is a spodic horizon, which is high iron and aluminum, which we are going to use as a surrogate for P retention. Now, we have very often used the soil test P as a P risk assessment, and we all know that that is not probably the best way to go. And therefore, some of us have moved into the P saturation ratio, or the PSR, and some of you maybe know it better as the DPS, of the degree of P saturation. Now, what we need to do is, I looked at the phosphorus saturation ratio in the uplands as well as in the wetlands, and also this is the new tool, the soil P storage capacity, and I will go through some of the applications of this particular tool. In the uplands, you need to know whether the uplands is a source or sink of P. The same arises with the wetlands. Is that a source or sink of P? What happens to our drainage ditches? Are they sources or sinks of P? And eventually, we should be able to predict what would go onto the lake. Now, with that in mind, let me start with the P saturation ratio, which many of you are familiar with. A simple plot of water-soluble P against the P saturation ratio of a soil gives you a change point that is at that point above which the P loss becomes extraneous. It becomes very high. And that change point, when you use oxalate P, iron, and aluminum as the extractable P, is 0.10. And this point happens to be the same when you use a soil test solution such as malic 1P iron and aluminum. And this can be extended to malic 3P iron and aluminum. I have some data corresponding to what I'm showing you right now, but I wanted to use just one soil test as an example. Now, I did the same for wetlands, and for the wetlands, the change point is pretty much the same. So for all practical purposes, we will use 0.1 as the PSR value, the threshold PSR value, or the change point PSR at which water-soluble P increases dramatically. With that, let us look into the soil P storage capacity and what that new tool is. Now, when you have a low STP or a low PSR, it does not mean that you can add any amount of phosphorus to it because of it will depend on the retention capacity of the soil as to how much more P that particular soil can hold. And that is what led us to develop what is known as the safe soil P storage capacity, or the SPSC. And this would consider risks from previous P application, and as well as it will provide a direct estimate of the amount of P a soil can sorb before it becomes an environmental risk. The approach itself is very simple. It still needs only the three elements that you get from any soil test lab. That is, it needs P, iron, and aluminum. And SPSC is the difference between the PSR of a soil and the threshold value, which is 0.1 in this, what you have just seen, multiplied by iron and aluminum, which is just taken as a surrogate for P retention. Now, the 31 here is just to convert millimoles P per kilogram into milligrams per kilogram. You can also calculate the P storage capacity in kilograms P per hectare if you know the bulk density of the soil. And the good thing about SPSC is that it's additive. So you can add all the phosphorus in the various soil horizons to give one value for a designated P depth. It can be 1 meter, 2 meter, 3 meters. It can include any of your horizons. You can actually calculate the soil P storage capacity. And it can be used to predict lifespan of a P application site. Let us look why and how it can be done. If you look at this equation, when SPSC is less than zero, when PSR is less than zero, SPSC is positive. So the soil is a P sink. But once SPSC increases or is greater than 0.1, you get a negative SPSC value, which means the soil is now a P source. The equation again shows that there are only three factors, P, iron, aluminum. So if the iron and aluminum is maintained a constant, you can literally calculate the amount of P the soil can take up before it becomes an environmental risk. That is, you can give equate to SPSC equals zero. Now, the slide that I showed you previously was based on oxalate iron aluminum. Now, we should be able to do that using a malic 1 or a malic 3 solution so that we can get the values very easily by sending a soil to the soil testing lab. But we do need a conversion factor when you use a malic 1 or a malic 3 solution. And of course, the reason is obvious. A soil can have only one storage capacity. You cannot say you get a storage of SPSC using one value for oxalate and another value for malic 1. So how do we do that? Again, it's a very simple thing. This is for the A and E horizons. You calculate SPSC using oxalate, calculate SPSC using malic 1, and to avoid confusion, we call this one SPSC without the conversion factor, a capacity factor. That is, when you use a soil test, you just call it a capacity factor. Now, the linearity, it's a linear equation, and the slope is actually can give you a multiplication factor. So you add the slope, 1.3, which means now this SPSC can be calculated for the A and E horizon using just soil test P, iron, and aluminum. Now, for the spodic horizon, which is a different material, you will need a different slope. And that slope is 1.8. Now that we know how to calculate SPSC using malic 1 P iron aluminum or malic 3, I have those data and I can share them with you sometime if needed, then let us look at the relationship between SPSC and water-soluble P. Now, for the A and E horizons, what we see is the soil is a P sink when SPSC is positive, and the soil becomes a P source when SPSC is negative. Actually, from this predictive equation, we should be able to calculate the amount of P that can leave your soil system at a given negative SPSC. This is positive, this is negative SPSC. The same is true for the BH horizons. It's remarkably the same. It is just the same. When SPSC is positive, soil is a P sink. When SPSC becomes negative, soil becomes a P source. Now, you know that we have all the hard time trying to determine EPC. You need to do the Langmuir equation and then literally calculate EPC. Look what we can do. This is the uplands. We have P as a P sink, and EPC now becomes greater than zero once it reaches zero SPSC. That is, once the high energy sorption sites are completely satisfied, only then does EPC start to increase. Now, this one is actually, you can even do it with PSR, because why? When the PSR is at the threshold value, to and until that value, you do not need, there will not be any EPC in solution. This is for uplands. Let us look at the wetland scenario. The wetland scenario is not much different. You get the same. And if you look at the organic matter in a wetland, which is always of concern to all of us, we have up to 95% organic matter, but it is continues to be appeasing. In other words, it is still regulated by iron and aluminum. Your peace option is still regulated by iron and aluminum and has nothing to do with organic matter as long as it is below the threshold PSR value. Now with that, let's look at a few applications of the SPSC concept. Here is a minimally impacted soil, dairy mini impacted, and here is a heavily impacted soil. They're both on spotty soils. Now this is a spotty horizon here, so it's a pea sink here. If you look at this, this side is positive SPSC, this side is negative SPSC. Here you have negative SPSC in a highly impacted soil. Let us assume we keep the water table at 100 centimeter depth. So this is depth here. What happens? It's in a pea sink area. It's in a pea sink area, so nothing happens. You do not lose any pea to water, subsurface drainage, surface drainage. You do not lose any pea. But what happens if you raise the water table to, say, 60 centimeter depth? In this minimally impacted soil, nothing happens. Your soil is still a pea source, and there will be no pea release. But let us see what happens if we move to 60 centimeters in an impacted soil, in this particular impacted soil. Now you're at a level when your soil becomes a pea source. So raising the water table to 60 centimeter depth in this case is not advisable. You are going to get pea release from this particular soil. The next is how we can use it for agronomic purposes. This is a blueberry farm, and here you have a forested area. Here you have a lake which is actually being impacted. Now, before I forget, I think I may have already forgotten about that. Each of these areas were worked on by different people, so I've just listed their names below that, followed by also the funding agency that supported that particular sort of work. Now, this blueberry farm, you have a blueberry farm land here. Here you have a drainage ditch, and this area here is a site of an old barn, all right? So what we did is we went and took some random samples here, and you'll find that this is the SPSC value. It is negative throughout the soil profile. Then what we did is we looked at the ditch here. This is the first point. This is the middle of the ditch. The first point, look at this tremendous negative SPSC, which simply means that that particular soil is a heavy pea risk. So what is happening is it has sort of flooded this whole area, giving it the negative SPSC we looked at in this particular area. And that has an underlying BT with a minimal SPSC value. And the water-soluble pea in these locations range from less than 1 to about 13 milligrams pea per kilogram. The location, I mean, it's obvious. The minimal is here, and the maximal is here. Now, let us look at the same farm, the same blueberry site, the same management practices by the same farmer. Now, here at this location, SPSC is positive throughout, and water-soluble P is minimal. So what does this mean? At this site, unless he fertilizes the land, he's not going to get his blueberry production, while in the previous site, he can literally mine phosphorus. Now, on to wetland scenario. This is positive, and this is negative. You will find that it is negative up to the spotic horizon, and then it becomes positive. These values are TP values, so you will note that phosphorus has moved down the wetland. A drainage ditch, the situation is the same, except in this case, it has actually eaten up the spotic horizon, so even the spotic has become a pea source. And lastly, here is a wetlands profile, which is minimally impacted. Surface is high, the rest is positive. So it takes away from what we have always done to look at only the surface horizon of wetlands. It's not practical. Here, land uses in SPSC, this is the last slide. So just take a look at this one. I'd like you to keep an eye for the greens. This is the forested area, and this is the unimproved pastures. If you look at SPSC here, this is the SPSC, this is negative. These two top ones, this is positive. Look at the green and yellow. They correspond exactly to the forested areas and the unimproved pastures. The rest are improved pastures, dairy, many locations, and so on. So to capture, SPSC is definitely a P risk indicator that is better than STP or PSR. It is additive. Positive SPSC means minimal water-soluble P, minimal EPC. Applications, water table, you can identify locations of environmental pre-risks, uplands, wetlands, you can use in phytoremediation. Now we know the uplands can be a P source of sink. You can look at wetlands as a P source of sink, and you can predict what happens that'll go into the lake. You can use it in modeling. You can do it on a site-specific scale. You can do it on an individual farm. With that, thank you very much.
Right?
Thank you.